Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to The Upswing. Indeed, right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. This morning, Mayor Kevalier Johnson delivered his State of the City speech at Western Building Products on Milwaukee's far northwest side. It's at about 115th and Good Hope Road. If you're not familiar with Western Building Products, don't worry, I did a little research for you. It's 100% employee-owned. Company moved its operations actually from Wauwatosa to the city of Milwaukee in 2021. Mainly deals in custom home building and remodeling devices and equipment, mainly doors though. It warehouses products for home builders and remodelers, but also manufactures pre-hung doors, plug-and-play ready doors and frames, provides pre-finishing services, painting and staining, fiberglass doors, interior doors, all thing doors. That's where the mayor was this morning. That's Western Building Products in a nutshell. I really like politician visits, especially to small businesses. It's a great opportunity to get employee engagement and to provide some opportunity for the CEOs and the leaders to have access to politicians. Always a fun thing. Anyways, the State of the City was full of updates and inspiration today from all areas of the city. You can hear analysis all day long and get updates all day long on WTMJ.com. So post State of the City events on the mayor's calendar today include a ribbon cutting ceremony to officially welcome the employees of Fiserv to its new corporate headquarters right here in downtown Milwaukee. That event happens in about an hour or so. And one of our guests today is going to join the mayor to welcome the new downtown workers to the neighborhood. It's always nice to welcome people to the neighborhood, isn't it? We're such a welcoming, wonderful community here. So why is one of our guests joining the mayor today? Well, she's the executive director of the Westtown Association, the nonprofit business association focused on championing the economic development and social development in the downtown neighborhood. Now, I also, just so you know, to set the table, I happen to be the board president of this fine organization. So today isn't a formal board meeting, but it is going to be a lively discussion on all things downtown. There's so much happening, and to hear it from people that work in and around downtown each and every day to grow and build connections is going to be really insightful and fun. And the organization produces and puts on the annual St. Patrick's Day Parade with the Shamrock Club of Wisconsin, which is this Saturday. So we're going to get an exclusive preview of that event. And I'm going to ask the question, because I always do, like, why do we hold the St. Patrick's Day Parade not on the exact date itself? There's a really good reason, but, you know, it's March 9th, and we're going to find out why. Stick around. We're going to hear that. So as an organization, Westtown works to promote and program and enhance downtown districts through special events, business outreach, and economic growth. What else is coming up on the show? Well, we're going to preview this summer's Milwaukee Night Market, another event that Westtown puts on, tell you how to get on the vendor list. We're going to talk about all that's new, and we're going to have a bottom-of-the-hour update with Dave Spano, who will give you his thoughts on what's up with the market as we head through March. But a little bit more table setting here. My connection to Westtown, as I continue to introduce myself here on The Upswing, 24 years ago or so, I walked into a Greater Milwaukee Convention and Visitors Bureau meeting and a Greater Milwaukee committee lunch with the former director of the Westtown Association, Beth Nichols, now Beth Warrick. Actually, Beth and Matt Dorner from Milwaukee Downtown will join us on The Upswing next Monday. So put that on your calendar for sure. So I walked into this event 24 years ago. With Beth, we sat at the table to get an update on the Bradley Center and the Grand Avenue Mall. Obviously, two things that have changed enormously in the last 24 years. I sit down to lunch. Next to me There's a woman, a young woman named Stephanie Otto. She had just started at the Westtown Association. Fast forward many years, that Stephanie Otto is now Stephanie Sherman, who, during her tenure as executive director of the Westtown Association, hired Stacy Calise, who is now in her 20th year as executive director of the Westtown Association. So for me and all of us, Westtown and downtown is about family, it's about growing, and it's about opportunity. And we're going to dive into all of it when we come back after this first break. This is The Upswing, and I'm Jeff Sherman. Thanks for being here today. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, the Monday edition, talking all things downtown Milwaukee to celebrate the mayor's state of the city. The heart of the city is downtown Milwaukee. Our guest today, Stacy Calise, the executive director of the Westtown Association, and Megan Kujawa, marketing events director. Megan, Stacy, welcome to The Upswing.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us. All right. Sure. This is great. It's a great day in Westtown. It's always a great day in Westtown, isn't it?
It's always sunny in Westtown.
That's right. So give us the overview of what Westtown is. And then I want to kind of give you, provide us with the basics of what a business improvement district is. Exciting stuff. Make it happen.
For sure. I mean, as an organization, so we look at Westtown as a neighborhood and as an organization. So as an organization, we're a nonprofit business association that promotes programs and, you know, works on economic development in that corridor west of the Milwaukee River. So it's that area that people know well with the Fiserv Forum, with the Avenue, the Third Street Market Hall, lots going on in that area. So it's really the cultural and economic heart of Milwaukee, the way we look at it. So lots going on in this area. It also, in terms of business improvement district, we are partially funded by Bid 5. So it's a funding mechanism for the Westtown Association, a very common thing in the city of Milwaukee. There are about 31 other bids. And the bid is really a tool or mechanism for which property owners join forces to finance and implement transformation of a defined geographical area. So they do that through a self-imposed special assessment on commercial properties. So we don't look at it as a tax. It's generally an assessment because you have this group of property owners that are banding together to supplement city services for a specific purpose. And all of the bids, you know, many of them have, you know, engaged in clean, safe, things like that. But there's also some very unique bids like the Riverwalk, which was formed to fund construction costs on the Riverwalk in downtown Milwaukee.
And the state of Wisconsin kind of provides that flexibility for business improvement districts to do that type of development. I mean, that's what they're created for, correct?
Yeah. And so the bids statute is defined within the state of Wisconsin legislature, and the state of Wisconsin's bid law is much different than other states from the way I understand it. It really gives the bids the flexibility to set their own course. It is mandated through each local municipality on how you set up a bid, but the bid really can decide on what their key objectives are. Is it, you know, creating an active public space? Is it actual placemaking? Is it clean, safe? They have the ability to really, through their operating plan, define their core objectives for the organization.
And that's done working with the board of directors and the property owners and all the stakeholders in the area to say, all right, property owners are paying into a fund at certain levels based upon property value, but we're going to determine how those funds are distributed. Maybe it's safety, maybe it's placemaking, maybe it's special events, all those things that come together each and every day to make neighborhoods happen, whether it's downtown or in another part of the city.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, and each bid is unique in Milwaukee. There's in the downtown area, I think it's also unique that we have six bids. And when we look at that across the country, you don't see property owners within a bid or pay into multiple bids. We have one property I know of for sure, Schlitz Park, pays into three different bids, but those bids are really engaged in different niches. They pay into the Riverwalk, which was there to construct the Riverwalk. They pay into Bid 21, which is Milwaukee downtown. Yeah. And then they also pay into the MLK bid to the north. So you don't really see that across the country in our peer cities where properties are really to go to that level of investment to pay into multiple business improvement districts. So I think it really shows the commitment of our local property owners to supplement the services already provided by the city of Milwaukee.
Right. And if you're going to do business recruitment and retention, you have to have that collaboration between multiple groups. Like a Fiserv moving downtown to Westtown, it just doesn't happen organically. Like there's a lot of recruitment. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And I know you're going to head over and join the mayor a little bit, be on the podium. I think this is our first upswing guest who's going to leave the show a little early and go to an event and be on the stage with the mayor. So this is beautiful.
Well, I'm really honored that Fiserv, as they move into their new global headquarters on Velar Phillips Avenue, invited me to join Mayor Johnson, join their CEO, Frank Biscano, and their CFO, Bob Howe, on their move-in day. So this is their initial ribbon cutting to welcome employees to this new global headquarters from Fiserv. It's the old, people will remember it as the Boston store building, the Bonton corporate headquarters. And they will be moving over the course of this year, 580 employees into Westtown, which is a big another shot in the arm to have those employees moving into our downtown neighborhood.
Without a doubt. All right. We're talking all things west of the river and Westtown here in the heart of the city, downtown Milwaukee. This is The Upswing. We'll be right back. We're back. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Saturday is the big downtown St. Patrick's Day parade. Kicks off at noon. We'll have more on that soon. And it will be, I'm looking forward to that conversation because there's so much that goes into the day-to-day. A parade just doesn't happen overnight. It is a year-long process to dive in, to get some logistics, and to hear all the work that goes into creating a parade for a city. It's pretty exciting. So I've lived in downtown Milwaukee for 20 years or so. Family and I raised our son here until he was about 3 or 4. We've owned a couple condos. We actually just sold one. It's changed a lot in the last 20 years, right, Stacey? You know, what's driving the growth, especially in the heart of downtown here in Westtown?
Well, I think for Westtown, it's really the opportunity. When you look at our neighboring districts in the historic Third Ward in Easttown, their life cycle of development had already occurred, and there just wasn't the same volume of vacant parcels and underutilized commercial buildings that were ripe for redevelopment. So we really saw that 10 plus years ago with the Class B and C office space that was converted into housing. And, you know, some really high profile conversions in the Plankington building, Germania building, Journal Sentinel was converted into Journal Commons. So that really drove a growth in our residential density in Westtown. And then since then, it's, you know, we're seeing those vacant corridors like the former Park East, which is now growing into the Deer District. We have the Iron District on the southwest corner of the district growing into the Iron District. So a lot of activity happening. But I think as we continue to look forward, it's now the challenge of connecting those nodes of activity. And how do we create a better connected neighborhood downtown?
Yeah. I mean, we just went through strategic planning at the board level, and that was the word. It was about connection, and that's moving forward, how we can best connect all the neighborhoods to downtown Milwaukee to create even more opportunity for all neighborhoods. And that's what the downtown heart should continue to beat like that. So I saw over the weekend that San Francisco's biggest mall is getting a rebrand, and they're kind of moving away from the traditional mall and looking at a food hall and other entertainment activities. Milwaukee's really been a leader in terms of that type of development, right? Consider right where we're sitting here at the Avenue.
Yeah, when you look at the Avenue's redevelopment, you really could, Josh Krishnick from Hempel Real Estate could create a best practice manual, honestly, for adaptive reuse of a downtown mall. And although the process, it probably in his eyes, wasn't as smooth as we viewed it from the outside, he really did it right in that he found the right partners right away in Omar Sheikh and Tony Janowick. And then he also built out the residential component, which, you know, grew the density. But then he found some champions, some people and organizations that were willing to take a risk on it with Grafe and John Kissinger. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the other commercial entities followed in terms of the office development. But then when you look at what has occurred in the Third Street Market Hall, really growing into one of the biggest gathering spaces in Westtown, it's really becoming the heart of our local downtown community. I think what has occurred here at the Avenue and Third Street Market Hall is pretty remarkable and could be used as a template by other developers across the country, that especially with the idea that urban malls generally are struggling and don't work the way they used to, as the format of retail has really just changed so much.
Yeah. Milwaukee leads, others continue to follow. I like that. That's what the upswing's all about. So if you hadn't been to downtown Milwaukee in a while, what do safety concerns keep you up at night, or what does the organization do to assure kind of the clean, safe, and friendly approach in downtown?
I think for me, I also lived downtown for a decade, live in an adjacent neighborhood in Walker's Point, and while violent crime really is non-existent downtown, there still are issues with quality of life issues that impact, like such as entry to autos, aggressive panhandling. We know that these issues really impact the user experience and the quality of life of people coming downtown. So we take those things very serious. I think for us, it's all been about collaboration and being creative with our partners at MPD, okay, with the other groups in Visit Milwaukee in the downtown bid.
All right. Welcome back to The Upswing, a Monday market look, looking forward into March. Dave Spano from Annex Wealth Management and host of Money Talk joins us on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline. Dave, happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, Jeff. A lot of fun things going on.
Very much so. Yes, indeed. So a bit of a breather in the stock market rally this morning, but
A little bit. You know, you see that the Dow is down, but you know, there is some movement going on. You know, we all heard about the AI renaissance that really started about a little more than a year ago, and everyone talked about Nvidia, but there's a company that is really rocking and rolling today called Super Microcomputers, and they have had a heck of a run over the last number of months, and in fact up $220 today, about 24%. And why is that? They are some of the backbone of Nvidia with some storage issues, but one of the things that's happening is they're being added to the S&P 500. Why is that important? Because so many people own that, Jeff, in, for example, either directly or their 401k plans. And so when it's one of those 500 companies, it's now in the club. And because it's in the club, all of these managers have to go out and buy it. And that's what we're seeing here this morning.
Okay. So what's your forecast for the rest of the week? And even looking ahead in the markets for March, you know, lambish?
Yeah, if I start forecasting weekly stock market performances, I think Buffett is going to call me and ask me if I've lost my mind. But there's no doubt that what we're seeing right now is a bullish sentiment, and that is likely going to be the theme of the year, because during a presidential election year, you see a lot of that happening. Why does that happen? Because the incumbent generally wants to get reelected, and if that happens, they use their fiscal tools and sometimes even monetary tools. You'll see the Federal Reserve do that. So I think we're going to see both of those things happening. There's certainly a lot of talk, and there's a bill moving through Congress right now that would be a tax cut. And so that is fiscal stimulus. You see right now what the Federal Reserve is talking about doing, probably not in March, but more likely in June, of a rate cut. All of those things provide stimulus. And that is really what moves the market and kind of keeps them in a bullish platform. And that's what we expect. We expect those things to happen throughout the year. And it's not just here in the United States, Jeff. half that we're going to have an election, but 40% of the world's population will have an election this year. That's about 80% of those capitalized countries, capitalistic countries. So we're going to see a lot of elections around the world that could change the landscape. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. And then lastly, of course, there's local news that that you can see happening with more companies moving downtown Milwaukee, for example. There is a renaissance happening. And why is that? Because of walkability, because of restaurants and bars, and because some of the talent really wants to see those things. So those economic drivers to come into major metropolitan areas is always a good thing.
What impact can corporate relocations like Fiserv have on downtowns?
Well, there's no question. When there's more human beings in a space, that is good for not only the vibe, but again, do they have a walkability? Is it an economic impact to restaurants, bars, theaters, and the like? And that's bringing people down. Then feeds on itself. You think about, for example, back in the day, Jeff, when you'd walk up to a bar and there was a line coming out, you know, well, that might be the bar I want to go to, right? And so there's more people draw more people, and I think that's what you're seeing. Fiserv being part of that, and other companies, you know, Milwaukee Tool and the rest coming downtown to Milwaukee. That's happening. But it's not just happening here. It's happening in other major metropolitan areas as well. Even in places like Chicago, despite what's happening there, right. You're starting to see more companies coming back into areas like that. And that is because the talent, and it really depends on the job, right? And so if you are, for example, a company that provides back office for financial institutions like a Fiserv, that's what you can do. But if you are something that faces people, for example, they might want to be in the suburbs and be closer to home. So it really, the facts and circumstances matter.
Very good. Very good. Connections, collisions, and the markets, it all works together. Thank you, Dave, for the update. You have a great week, and we'll talk again next Monday.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. We'll come back after the break. We are going to get an exclusive preview of the St. Patrick's Day Parade and talk all about the Milwaukee Night Market with Megan Kujawa of the Westtown Association. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The dates and details for the Milwaukee Night Market, the 2024 edition, are out. And Megan Kujawa, Marketing and Events Director at the Westtown Association, is here to tell us all about it. And specifically, let everyone know how you can get involved. If you have a business you're a part of, if you're a small business owner, if you have a wonderful salsa that you're like, I want the world to taste my salsa, the night market could be a good opportunity for you. How are you doing this morning, Megan?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Good. Well, tell us all about the night market. Obviously, the summer of 2024 in downtown Milwaukee is going to be amazing. There's a lot of events happening. Mm-hmm. But what's the night market all about?
Yeah, we're really looking forward to this summer to be part of all the excitement that's going on downtown, especially with this summer being the 10th season of the Milwaukee Night Market. So the dates for the summer are June 26th, July 24th, August 14th, and September 11th. And it's just such a large festival that brings so many people into the heart of downtown Milwaukee, right on Wisconsin Avenue.
Yeah. There's so few events that get to shut down or get to close Wisconsin Avenue, right? I think this might be the only one right now, right?
Yes, I believe so as well.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we used to have the Al's Run or the Briggs and Stratton Al's Run that Marquette was a part of in Children's Hospital.
Right.
But that's kind of transitioned into an event on Marquette's campus. So if you want to be standing in the middle of the main street in Wisconsin, that's what the night market brings.
Yes, it is. And it's a event that brings over 100 diverse local vendors to each market. We feature a variety of entertainment, including DJs, dance groups, acrobatics, fire dancers. And there really is nowhere else that everyone from Milwaukee, no matter what age or background they're from, can all come together and be dancing in the middle of the street.
Yeah, what I always tell people about the night market is I love the fact that you can be walking through the event and you see the 64-year-old CEO and then the group of 14-year-olds at the same event and there for the same reasons. It's really kind of beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The vendor application just opened last week, right?
Yes.
What's that process? How many per event? And if I want to register my company, how do I do that?
Yeah, so we have a very thorough curation process. The application opened on February 21st and will close on Friday, March 15th at midnight. Right now, we're already at over 350 applications and expect to see quite a few more before that deadline. So we encourage you to apply. We are looking for any kind of small business, from restaurateurs to farmers, crafters, bakers, makers of all sorts. We want to have at the night market because it's an event where no matter what you're looking for, you can absolutely find it at the market.
So it's food, beverage. I mean, if you're at a big farmer's market, I mean, that flavor is pretty typical of what the night market vendor is all about. But it's also people, you know, whether it art that they're making at home or professional artists, it kind of runs the gamut.
Yes. Yep. You can find a range of, no matter what you're looking for, from like smaller knickknacks to some really sophisticated art pieces, just about anything you're looking for.
Okay. And where can people find that application?
The application is on our website, which is mkenightmarket.com.
Okay. Very good. So the downtown St. Patrick's Day Parade is this Saturday. Megan has been instrumental in making that event happen. When we come back for the final segment, we're going to talk about all the details around the parade. Why isn't it held on March 17th? And are there more parades coming to downtown Milwaukee in the future? All this and much more. This is The Upswing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Upswing. You can't talk about downtown business without talking about events. A big, big driver. Downtown goes green this Saturday for the 56th annual Shamrock Club of Wisconsin St. Patrick's Day Parade. Steps off at noon. And Megan Kajawa from the Westtown Association is here to give us all the highlights, give you some tips on where to park, talk about, you know, why are we holding this thing on March 9th and not on the actual holiday itself? Like, it's I'm not trying to be grumpy or anything, but, you know, like, Christmas parades are on Christmas. Well, not all of them, but the big ones, you know, at Disney. And then where are some other big parades? Thanksgiving, the Macy's Day Parade is always on Thanksgiving. So we're going to celebrate the weekend beforehand in downtown Milwaukee, right?
Yes, we are. And we're very intentional with that reason. So typically it is held a little closer to the actual holiday, but the way that the days fall this year in 2024, St. Patrick's Day is not until the third weekend of March. So we choose to do the weekend prior in order to give local businesses that extra weekend of business when typically it could maybe be a slower time. So this year, between having the Shamrock Shuffle this past weekend, the parade coming up on Saturday, and then businesses will have a third opportunity for increased business on actual St. Patrick's
Day.
There
are green shirts all over, like, Metro Milwaukee, I think, on Saturday for the Shamrock Shuffle.
Yes, there definitely were.
So it's good. I mean, it's definitely an economic and business reason. It gets back-to-back-to-back weekends for bars and clubs and just draws even more people into the heart of the city.
Right.
So talk about, there's a Friday night party to kick off the event.
Yes, our Shamrock kickoff party. It will be held at Lucky Clover Irish Pub from 5:30 to 9 p.m. on Friday. And we'll have live music by Irish entertainer Ian Gould. Over 50 raffle prizes will be available. And this year we're having a special raffle thanks to our presenting sponsor, Miller Lite. So for every Miller Lite purchased during the event, purchasers will have the opportunity to win Milwaukee Brewer opening day tickets.
Okay. All right. And I love the tradition of this event because it's done in partnership with the Shamrock Club, right? And so every year there's a mass to honor St. Patrick. Before the parade?
Yes, at 8 a.m., I believe.
Okay. So, and talk about the partnership with the Shamrock Club and how that works throughout the year. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into organizing a parade. It isn't just, you know, the weekend before, you're like, oh, let's get a bunch of units together. Like, this is a year-long process to put on the parade.
Yeah, so we are very fortunate to work with the Shamrock Club of Wisconsin. We've been in partnership with them since 2002, and we work very closely with the parade director, Mike Boyle, who puts so much time and effort into this event. So he really works on curating the lineup. So, you know, on Saturday, you'll expect to see decorative floats. All eight schools of Milwaukee Irish Dance will be performing, pipe and drum groups. My favorite are the Irish Wolfhounds to see.
Nice.
So Mike handles all of that type of logistical work. And then Westtown works in collaboration with them to handle all the marketing and promoting of the event.
Okay. Do the Dancing Grannies have...
Dancing Grannies okay. will be there, absolutely.
Right. They'll be in their full green attire, and that's always a highlight of
yes.
any parade, right? So talk a little bit about, please, why don't we see more parades in downtown Milwaukee? Like, obviously, Milwaukee used to have the Circus Parade mm-hmm. many years ago, the City of Festivals Parade. We don't have – there's a Veterans Day Parade. There's some other smaller parades, but talk about the logistics mm-hmm. of building a parade in today's economy.
Yeah, I think that is one of the reasons why we don't see many more is because it is very costly and logistically, you know, we're working with Mike about 6 months out of the year on producing this event. And with it only being a 2 hour long event, you are still paying for permit fees and all the performers. It's also very volunteer based. So getting people to commit to participating in that event takes a lot of work and effort to put into. And like I said, our formula with the Shamrock Club really works well. And we're very invested in this event in bringing, you know, more business to downtown as well as celebrating Milwaukee's Irish culture. And just not everywhere is able to replicate something so special.
Yeah. So if I'm coming downtown Milwaukee on Saturday from wherever, where's mm-hmm. the easiest place to park for the parade?
The best place to park would be at the Avenue structure. So thanks to our partners, Interstate Parking, they are providing $3 flat parking rate all day during the parade.
Okay. All right. Very good. That's easy in, easy mm-hmm. out. You don't have to worry about streets. When do the streets close before the parade?
So certain streets will close around 10 a.m. for staging, and okay. then it'll be rolling closures when the event starts at noon and will reopen around 1:30. And all of that information on parking and street closures can be found on our website, stpatricksparade.org.
Very good. All right. Anything else you want to add about the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Saturday, Megan?
Yeah, we're just looking forward to seeing everyone out there for, you know, one of the first big events of the first quarter. And definitely head downtown this weekend to come watch.
Very good. Downtown goes as events go. Events are so much a vital part of what downtown Milwaukee is all about. So we're looking forward to the downtown St. Patrick's Day Parade on Saturday. Thanks for joining us. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman.